Yeah, it's recording.
Okay.
Hey, Cece.
Hey, Voodoo. Huh? What'd you say?
How are you?
Okay. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Can't complain.
I'm excited. Good. You're both feeling real good right now. Hell
yeah.
Yeah. I'm alive.
How are you doing? How are you doing, Paris?
Good. I'm out here in Long Beach walking to get some pokey right now. Having a casual conversation with the gals. The best day ever. It's all Saturday. Full moon.
I know.
Beautiful.
First okay, full moon of the spring, right?
Oh, yeah. 1 week into springtime already. Full moon. The first one of the season. Yes. Feeling like vitalized. Very vibrant.
Yeah. Yes, make some wishes and birds and say, you guys, Paris is back.
Oh, yeah. This is our... Yes, who's back? Well, now y'all know it's Paris.
Wee, Paris.
Make some wishes and burn some sage is like my new shit. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try to do that. Make some wishes and burn some sage.
Full moon of the first of the spring. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish this is the best podcast you've ever recorded.
There you go.
Will that work that way?
Yeah.
You tell somebody you wish it won't come true, so I won't tell them that.
Oh, okay. All right. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't share. Don't share your wishes. Don't
share. Wish for some sponsors for us. How about that?
Yeah, for some shmoney. Get that shmoney.
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 Well, also, you guys, we're we're having some technical difficulties. We're recording on Zoom, so if the quality is bad, we do apologize. We're doing the best we can.
Yes.
So sorry.
Don't take away from the amazingness of this episode. Don't play yourselves now.
Hey,
information is still rich. Yes, information is very rich. Nothing will change.
Yes,
I'm
indeed.
Very excited for this episode. Yeah. And like Paris said, don't let that deter you. The information is still rich. Please be open to receiving it. And welcome back, Paris.
Welcome back. I'm so excited to catch up with you.
Dude, I don't know the proper feminine conjugation of that word, but yes,
I mean,
the feeling is wow.
Love it.
So, the last time you were on, refresh. Do you remember what you talked about the last time you were on?
I don't know what I'm talking about. Anytime I'm on, I'm just talking, dude. Like speaking from the soul. It might have involved semen in my mouth. It might involve like Burning Man. I don't know, dude. There's a lot of random things that were going down.
Yeah,
I think it
back though, to clarify, the statement in my mouth thing was not because I sucked a dick. It was because the girl who sucked my dick tried to spit it back in my mouth, just to clarify. Yes. So, like,
without consent.
There's without consent. Like, yeah, that was kind of weird.
That's
pretty wild.
Very crazy.
I remember. And so, like, since that time, what have we had? Corona? You've been locked up, and now I think a year into it.
They won't let me out.
There was riots, there was murders, there was a change of administration. I mean, I felt like the world flipped on its axis since I talked to you last, honestly.
Yeah, seriously. The world changed so much in the past year and a half.
Whew. It really has.
Yeah. But we want to know about your world.
Okay. Well, the biggest change is Lila and I believe in the very first polyamory episode, she would have been with letter C, I'm trying to recall. He eventually became letter A, right? Primary in my life.
We had
a change in relationship style. And it's like different than a breakup, right? A breakup is like, fuck you, get out of my life, I don't want to talk to you anymore. And sometimes they're amicable, right? Sometimes they're treacherous. And so we had a long conversation over a sushi dinner about perhaps our baseline entities aren't compatible. Mm. And it was hard to like sit in that and know that I had with every intention, want to be with this person, marry this person, have kids with this person. But then kind of within that commitment, not really sitting in that perhaps we are not just being compatible. At least where we are today, like Paris 2021 isn't compatible with Nile 2021. And so shortly afterwards, she got an internship in New York City, or New York City, but in New York, in the state of New York, to be a vegan chef on a retreat that is ran by, what's the girl from Pulp Fiction? Uma Thurman's mom. She owns it.
Oh, gosh, that's so awesome.
There's like a fucking sacred ground. There's a meteorite that is like 300 acres big. And she's like, fuck, it might have come a dinosaur. All this crazy shit. And I'm like, yo. So like, when we were deciding that, hey, perhaps our relationship needs to change, I categorize this concept as the lover to goddess. And that is somebody who I'm not physical with intimately, but still supports, and I support vehemently, and vice versa. And so when she was like, hey, you know what, I think I want to go for the internship, I'm not sure what to do, any asshole would be like, yeah, fuck that, don't go, don't try to change your life and be a better person. I'm not that guy, you know. I was like, yeah, absolutely, you should fucking with every intention, with every ability to manifest something for yourself, please go for it, man. And she applied, was nervous, and I thought we went there and encouraged her, just trying to remove all doubt, believe in yourself, and take your means into making a better life for yourself. So she got accepted to the first one she applied to after like weeks of anxious anticipation and anxiety ridden spell. She figured it out. And so she split. And to this day, we kind of talk a lot. And I'm still someone who is an avid supporter of what she's trying to do in her life. Mm-hmm. And
give me 1 second.
I'm gonna come here. You go?
Yeah. I was walking my buddy to get some pokey. He's never had it before. So like that's where we are now. But the process of a separation is never easy, right?
Yeah.
And the polyamory never stopped. And so I did find partners amongst the separation. I did find myself like with other women who were able to kind of guide me in this emotional space. And this is one of my favorite things about
lovable person, like a nurturer, that is the
feminine energy. And that is someone who cares about me and is willing to help me through a hard time. And a guy can do that in a guy kind of way. Like, hey man, let's just fucking do something crazy. Let's go get on a binge, or let's go like snowboarding. Fucking forget about it.
Well, like
my partners, the women that I've encountered are just like, hey, how do you feel about this? Like, what do you really, what sits with you? And I saw this quote today, actually. It was like, are you healed or are you trying not to think about it? And I am never trying not to think about it. And I believe that emotions are windows to my internal dialogue. And so this person, I'll leave names out, but I'll give them letters, I guess. K. This person is, I want to go with a practicing Buddhist, but very wise. Like I would call her like a high priestess. And that's like not my quote, somebody else who quoted her. But somebody who is, I guess, to the layman person who doesn't understand the community well, is like the archetype hippie who wants to collect crystals and use homeopathic medicines and means to like cleanse the internal castor oil packets to heal wounds, yoni steams, massage therapist, works with Reiki. And so I feel this person is very wise for that. Mm-hmm. The yogi, the Reiki healer, the priestess, if you would, is somebody who's going to take some time to really understand and sit in an emotion, right? Mm-hmm. And I was telling her, I was feeling mixed kind of ways about separation because I was scared. I didn't know what that would look like. I spent all this time building a relationship with this person, and now they're gone. And so with that dearth, what does it look like? How do I heal? And it's such a fragile space, and someone who's not going to sit through the emotion can end up taking on risky behaviors, can end up taking on damaging habits. And I refuse to take my progress in my life so far and shit on it because somebody I love right now is deciding he wants to go a different direction with their life. Mm-hmm. And so when I was talking with Kay, she was talking about emotion, and this shit fucking blew my mind. And it was like, when you feel angry, when you feel happy, when you feel sad, why? Where is this coming from, right? It's because, in essence, there's something internally in myself that either agrees with the statement or agrees with the circumstance at hand or disagrees with the circumstance at hand. As you see it, that means if I'm angry because you called me a bitch, it's like, one, that word should be used in this context. Two, I don't agree with that because I'm not that word. And so I'm angry about what you fucking said to me, right? That is a dialogue. And you're not, one shouldn't like shy away from the anger, nor should you embrace it and go into rage, but you should identify its existence and sit with it. Why am I angry? What about my internal dialogue resonates with it? And the fact that I'm angry about somebody calling me out of my name means that either my internal truth doesn't believe that to be so, and so my external truth is kind of is trying to rationalize it and maybe accept it as a truth, and therefore my internal external worlds are having this cognitive dissonance, this tension of what is truth and what is not. And ideally, somebody who is fully aware, actualized, if you would have no emotions at all, in the sense of like, not that you're completely depressed and everything about you makes you feel numb, but you shouldn't have a reaction to something, right? These monks who spend all this time meditating, these Tibetan monks or these high functioning Buddhist priests and these like, I would call them ephemeral masters, are people who spend a lot of time understanding their internal truths and understanding perhaps traumas that were unchecked, or events that might have caused a damaging or long-lasting scar upon what and how they identify, to where anything that comes across the way, the reaction of a statement to where it hits my body or my mind or my being, my energy sphere, has no real reaction, for it doesn't matter. I've accepted what you said. I know it internally, I don't agree, and that is okay. Mm-hmm. So that was the foundation for me to understand my emotional turbulence as I was working on my separation. So I had to journal, like, okay. And then Kay goes, well, if you're trying to separate and you're afraid, what the fuck are you afraid of? Like, put it into a tangible example. I thought, well, I'm afraid of being alone. I'm afraid of not succeeding. I'm afraid of her finding a more suitable partner. I'm afraid of losing my home because I won't have a similar support. And I'm like, okay, let's backtrack the individual example. Why am I afraid of being alone? Is it impossible for me to attract another person? No. I mean, I'm a charismatic person who puts himself out there, and there's women who would love to be with me. So that's not something really to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I started to unpack all of these superfluous fears to really feel out exactly what was the truth and what was just a monster I created within myself to make myself afraid. Mm-hmm. Right? And these things take a lot of time to kind of unpack, to where I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid of her finding another partner who is better or worse. The concept is whoever she finds is going to make her happy in the way that perhaps I couldn't, and that is okay. For I will find people in the same realm for myself who can stimulate me or push me or excite me in ways that perhaps she wasn't more so privy to. And that a separation, when done in a healthy way, is fine, because you're not blaming the other person for this or that. You're accepting a truth, and that is perhaps in this moment in time in our lives, we are not suitable for each other, and it's okay to take a healthy break and not be codependent on the other person.
Right.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Wow. That's a lot. But I think it's awesome. Wow. You've done so much internal work. I feel like you're the opposite of like a stereotypical Black male who like doesn't take time to consider himself, and like you actually process your emotions. So just pat on the back for just coming that far.
Yeah. Great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Snaps and claps.
Yeah, snaps and claps, man.
That
a thousand claps. 1,000 clubs. I mean, it's interesting to be someone who is an empath or emotionally
attuned,
connected to myself. Right. Attuned, a great word. Emotionally attuned, and like you come, and it's almost like not worth giving energy to. But more so, it's what we tend to focus on, whether it's positive or negative. All of these things have an effect. I truly believe my path is divine and meant for greatness. And so when I have hardships, they're not something that's going to like throw me off of my overall goal. There's something to challenge me. There's no problems, only challenges, big ones and small ones. And I don't believe that Allah, Yahweh, God, Jesus, whoever it is that created who which you identify would put something in your path that you weren't able to overcome or learn from. So I don't fear the next step I take. It's like, what is my best step that I take? And that is coming from just focusing on what I really want. I mean, within this change of that year, that was the age of the Aquarius, springtime, full moon, there's moments, I believe, fractals in time that allow us to really manifest true desires. And this is like beyond me. This is backed by, the book I'm reading right now is Think and Grow Rich. But basically, knowing what you want is important, writing it down even more so, and being aware of what deficiencies you have so that you can bring somebody in who can help you do that. For example, this podcast, you two together make this podcast go. It'd be impossible with one without the other, and you're aware of that. So like building a team is integral. And so it's like being able to project yourself in the direction in which you choose, more so than anything, is important that you know what you want and you ask for what you want. And you must be one. I must be aware of what I am asking for. Cause I'm like, oh man, I hope I don't get fucking a flat tire. I don't know. Like you're kind of in turn asking for a flat tire, right? Like, I hope my wheels stay on my car the whole time is a different conversation, a different sentence, right? It's like there's so much power in words. There's so much energy you can put behind these things that therefore manifest them in your reality, which is another like kind of bifurcated conversation. More so just what you say matters. Remember what you say, because it matters, everybody. It matters.
What you say to yourself also matters so much, because what you say to yourself, that's just shit that manifests your life. And it manifests, you know, your world around you. Mm-hmm. If you constantly think negative things, like you said about the tire, eventually you're going to get a flat tire. And then you're going to be like, oh, see, it's because I thought about, you know what I mean? Like it's
a self-fulfilling
process. Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Right. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
So if you constantly think negative shit's going to happen.
That's true. This is very true. So now that you and Nyla have this different dynamic and you've done this introspection, like, what do you feel is your, I guess, your next step relationship-wise? Like, what is next outside of, I don't know, what's next to get meet your needs and relationship wise, I would say,
like, do you have feminine energy that you're around right now that you're trying to cultivate in polyamorous relationeships, or are you just kind of like, I just want to focus on myself?
It's never not. I mean, it's not like I feel like I am very cautious about the new waves of people that I find in my life, and that Kay is very interesting in that she's like, hey, are you lying to yourself about what you want? And I'm like, no. Like, okay, just be sure. It feels different. Like, she's always checking me, like, within my energy. I'm like, all right, cool. And I like that I have to be conscious of the kind of things I'm putting out. And so when we started talking initially, I said, I believe in a open relationship or a polyamorous relationship where I would like to have multiple partners and not have like an ownership of you. Like, you can bring on yourself a new partner if you felt the need to, and blah, 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 blah. Like the same conversation I have with every new person. Right. I met another girl who, I guess I'll call her K-E because her name is K, but like coincidence. K, I was like, hey, we had a conversation. I wasn't even like into her because this is kind of interesting. I want to hear your opinion on this. It's like, she's my good friend's ex-girlfriend from like 2 years ago. And she like slid into the DM and was like, hey, like, hola. And I thought, hey, I thought she was something that I could work on in partnership with business. And then she's like, well, no, I'm changing careers. And I thought, well, fuck that idea then. And then she brought up like, hey, I think you're cute. You want to come hang out? I live in Long Beach. And I thought, oh, fuck it. All right. Yeah, sure. And so we started like hanging out, and I wasn't like initially like trying to go for it, right? I was just kind of seeing what it was. But you can like feel the onda when someone starts like, you know, throwing you the eyes. They're like, oh, okay, yeah, this chick's into it. And so she was also in a dating space, and I had that. She has this game. I don't know. I forgot what it was called. It's one of those card games where you kind of break the ice. They ask you it's almost like Cards Against Humanity in the sense of just questions to be asked, but the context isn't like midget shitting in a bucket. It's when's the last time you cheated on your girlfriend, or have you ever been cheating on shit like that, basically. Okay. And so we were going question by question through this card set, and I brought up that my love style in the future, I would imagine myself with two wives, and I want to be able to build a tribe, you know, not like a harem or anything, but I would want to have two women, one to, I just like that idea, just the back and forth. And it's like just triangle of love. It feels very strong in the number of three. And she's like, I don't know, my ex-boyfriend, like, he was like, I don't know, we gotta have a threesome once. And I was like, I don't know about that shit. And I'm like, well, fuck it. I mean, that's why I'm not going for you. You know what I mean? Whatever. And I made it known, this is where I stand. And she was like, hey, I'm going on a date tonight. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, go on a date all the way, right? And I would encourage her to go on a date, dude. And I'd still hang out with her. And I guess, like, vibe, we end up fucking. And it was awesome. But the next day, I'm like, well, I'm voicing this out, like, oh, so what are we, you know? Like, and it was just, like, it was very casual. And, like, I think now she went to like South Carolina or North Carolina and is like trying to do her new career move and is like with some dude now. I don't know, like, I'm not attached to her as like a permanent relationship. It's someone I'm casually seeing. And so like there are these are the two women I'm like most sexually intimate with, and they kind of, they're very stimulating in their own way, between the different body types to like the conversations to like what they say when we're fucking. It's like, whoa. And the last person like I met recently, and I don't even know where this is going to go, because she's very shy, but she's also very beautiful. So like, it's just like a new person that I do want to hang out with, but it's my reticence in pursuing the relationship is realizing that the compatibility might be in turbulence, and only because the way I see myself is very, very vibrant. I don't mind speaking my mind. I don't mind being center of attention. And this person is an introvert, an incredible artist like I've never fucking seen before, honestly. And that's what Corona brought me to her. Still, I think she was in a troubled relationship. She was in a troubled relationship for the last 2 years. And like, I want to say borderline in the abusive state, where he's her only friend now and like treats her like is dishonest and is shitty to her. And so she feels like guilty hanging out with me because they're not officially separated, but she likes me. And so she's kind of like, oh, I can't hang out with you, but I want to, I can't hang out with you. And when I see her, she's very like, oh, Paris, oh, like close to me. But when we leave, it's like, it takes a long time for her to feel comfortable again talking to me. So it's kind of like in this weird, like, I don't know, obfuscation, if you would, like this back and forth between her emotion, what she wants and how she feels about it, like what she thinks about it, always thinking. And so within that, like, I have a huge crush on this girl. Like, I almost like her more than the other two.
Okay.
It's still that the necessary time she needs to heal, where if she ends up like, you know, fuck this guy, Paris, you're number one, then is it a rebound thing? Has she sat with her emotions enough to do the work, where in the long term of things, she's not feeling guilty, or she's not becoming codependent upon me because she's never sat alone with what she needs to deal with, right? And so it's kind of like, man, I don't know. But I mean, I would love for that to be the case. I don't know if I give up monogamy all the way, but I'm like, oh, what I know?
Okay. So you said you wanted our opinion. And it's like you got a lot of stuff figured out. Cause I'm like, so what do you want our opinion on?
What do you want our opinion on?
Oh. Iles, what is the story on you dating somebody who was a partner's ex, like a friend's ex partner? What is your opinion on that?
How do you feel about it? Like, do you feel any shame behind this, or are you just kind of like, this is what it is?
How do I feel about it? Oh, what a question.
Like, okay, let me put it to you. Like,
I have mixed feelings.
Okay.
I have mixed feelings in that this guy and me are close. We're going to the Utopian Summer thing, like this whole like party that we did. And where we filmed, and it was just like this amazing time, lifestyle party. And one of the nights I left to go get Nyla. I came back and he was with somebody. It's like basically I walked out of an orgy and it came back to an orgy, just to put it like in laconic quickly. And so like I've seen this dude's penis before and I'm like, ah, cool, man. Like I feel like he's like a brother to me, and that I would run a train on a chick with this guy, no problem. I think that's a better way to say it. Right. Now when it comes to like an ex-partner, it's weird because they had ended very terribly a long time ago. And so she feels that it's weird to talk about when I don't feel that way. So I'm kind of respecting her desire for disclosure. Is that the right word? Discretion. Her desire for discretion. So I'm like, okay, I won't bring it up. I don't think he would care because he's a homie and we are very similar minded. He's, I think, Sun Aquarius, so like he feels like I think, and so we're very much in the same wavelength of how we go about the means of our understanding. And so sharing women, like in the future, in this summer, we're having the same hotel room, and it's like basically Bob's your uncle, like whatever you can pull off, you can pull off in this place. It's like almost like an adult playground. And so I'd imagine him and I having fun together in the future, and it's got to be fucking tight. And so like I don't feel, so to answer the question, I don't feel bad about it. I feel I'm respecting her discretion.
So let me ask you this. So if, because from what I'm hearing, it's he was your friend first and then like she was just like dating him. So if he got wind that you guys were seeing each other and he approached you with it, how would you feel about talking to him about it? I guess that's where I'm at. Like, would you feel okay?
One should fear tough conversations. No one should not fear. Yeah. I mean, my heart would be racing, you know, like, oh shit, should I brought it to him first? Oh my God, am I a bad friend? Does he really fucking care? Like, I would be open to it and like, hey man, yeah, that's happening. And what is your sentiments about it? Do you care still? Do you want me to stop talking to her? Like, are you threatened by the concept? I mean, you want to know I'm going to treat her well? Like, I don't know what the reservation would be. Because after that much time not together, there's not, for me, it's like, how do you still have dominion over somebody else's life after years of non-talking? Yeah, we just happen to have shared.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, if enough time has passed, and it sounds like you'd still be a little bit shaky about talking to him about it. Which is understandable because it's like the whole thing of like, okay, this is my ex's, or this is my friend's ex. Mm-hmm. Like there's still that quote unquote bro code that you don't cross or whatever. But other than that, I think you're okay. If everybody feels okay about it, then go ahead and do your business. And at the end of the day, it was their relationship.
Right.
But I can't speak for personally what I would do. Because personally, I don't think I would do something like that. Just because, I mean, women are different. Like, we communicate, like, oh, you'll never believe what this nigga did. And, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, we hear it a lot. Like, not a lot of negative things, but, you know, you go to your girlfriend to complain about something stupid your girlfriend did. So it may be a little bit different for the male experience. I don't know. But that's my thought. If enough time has passed, and like you said, you genuinely cannot have dominion over someone. You don't own anybody. So, and if this man is like-minded like you are, and he's open-minded enough to be like, nah, it's not a big deal or whatever, then I say keep doing what you're doing. It sounds like you still have a little bit of anxiety. Yeah, like a little bit of reservation about it. So I would just talk to him and clear the air.
Yeah, I agree. I have done this. I have dated someone who was an ex of a friend, an ex-friend. And in the end, it bit me in the ass because of how they had ended, I had expected something different to happen and it didn't. Like he wasn't shit with her and he wasn't shit with me is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, I think that's my only reservation. I definitely think if you feel clear-minded and, you know, you feel like a clear conscience, like you said, no one belongs to anybody. And if this girl makes you feel good and you like her, go for it. But her reticence about disclosing it to him kind of makes me think, is there an ulterior motive? And what is the backstory? Because it feels like something's being left out. I feel like you should just sit down with him and be like, this is what's happening. And it is what it is. If he's mad, he's mad. But if you like this girl, you should go for it. Like Brittany said, like Voodoo said, I definitely think with women, it's different. Like I said, in my experience, I was thinking like, oh, I mean, she treated, in my experience, the girl was a piece of shit too. And so I thought that was the dynamic, like, oh, she's a piece of shit, so he treats her like a piece of shit. But come to find out, they're both pieces of shit.
That's so good.
Like, he's very close to this person.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing. That is my ex-friend, you know. So yeah. I had no guilt about it. I was like, you know what, this person makes me
loyalty to her.
Yeah, yeah. Like I didn't have any loyalty to her. I was like, you know, I'm doing my thing, but this is your friend, so I think you should just be like, yo, this is what's happening because you have nothing to hide.
Yeah, and then also like just put yourself in his position too. Like, how would you feel if, and maybe you wouldn't care. So I think the fairest thing to do is just to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a case of where like someone I dated 2 years ago, they feel like they dated for a long time. That's what I understood. For a long time or like, hey, it just ended when they were like not compatible anymore. And I guess like ended up being like, hey, I'll block you. Don't talk to me ever again. So like closure was hard to find for one of them. Right. So it was like, it didn't end amicably. It wasn't like annihilating my separation. It was like one of those, like, don't ever talk to me again situations. Block them all from all social media. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what very level headed and kind and hearted person. the person I'm hanging out with right now is the guy I'm talking about. I'm like, he's eating dinner, right? I should go ask him.
Wait, you said the person that you're talking about is...
Yeah, it's the homie. Where's he at?
He's right there?
Hey, man. Yeah, he went to go get food. I was like talking to you guys as he was going to get food.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think you should just have that conversation.
Yeah, I think that's the best. I know it's like the hardest thing to do, but I think it's also the best thing. Just out of respect, if he doesn't feel, you know, if he is angry about it, and if he, you know, we can't assume how other people are going to react.
Right.
You know, so just out of fairness. If you guys, if you guys weren't friends or you didn't feel any loyalty to him or if it wasn't bothering you, but from what you're describing to me, it sounds like it still gives you a little bit of pause and anxiety. So I think it's just best to just talk to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I wanted to touch on the last one that you were sharing about the shy one. Honestly, Paris, I know you like her, but red flags run. It sounds like her partner.
Oh, yeah.
is a little, like you said, abusive. And so it worries me that when she sees you, she's like super happy, but then she kind of has to hide who she is basically for this other person, since this other person is abusive and it sounds like a little narcissistic and vindictive. I would say until she gets to a safe place, I would back off of that one.
I agree, because Paris, you're such a light. So I can see somebody coming out of a dark situation, trying to like cling on to you and being a little bit of an emotional vampire, which isn't fair to you. I know you care for her. You may want to help her, whatever. But I mean, that's not your responsibility. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of emotional stuff she has to unpack before she can really, you know, because you're saying things like you would give up polyamory for her. That's a pretty big deal.
Considered. Not a thing I was gonna fucking do for sure. It's like, hey, this person is actually really dope. It meets like a lot of things I'm interested in. Maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's like a solo introduction to it. I don't know if she likes girls too. Maybe she does. Maybe she doesn't. It's like one of those things I've noticed with the, not with the push, but with the, hey, you're not doing this by yourself. I'll do it with you. And then she's like, oh yeah, hell yeah, let's fucking run and do it, right? Yeah. So I don't know what she is willing or what she's not willing to do and to explore. I also see the advice you're giving in the sense of like, yeah, this person has had a kind of a shadowy figure over her understanding, and I'm like this big breath of fresh air and light, and I've been this person before in past relationships, and so it's one of those things where I have to check my interest and not invest too much of my time into something that isn't going to be like.
Yeah,
fruitful, but she's gonna look so good naked. I know it. Gotta find out, man. Just kidding.
I mean, are you? Even if you aren't, I mean, I get, you know, that's, it's a valid thing to bring up.
It's like every male desire, right? Like, oh, this girl is beautiful. I'm attracted to them. I wonder what they look like with their clothes on. I feel like it's every male baseline. Hey, am I wrong in that? I don't know.
Women without as much emotional baggage. I'm not saying we all have to treat it. I can do it too.
It's true. Yeah. Man, well, yeah. That is sound advice coming through for the Afterglow podcast. Your relationship advice, everybody. Who's next? Who's your next guest?
Thank you for coming to our TED Talk.
Yes.
Thank you for coming to our
get somebody who's emotionally
ready. I'm just a little concerned about that that third person, you know, that person on the outskirts, like what what dynamic he brings in. And so it's a little,
it sounds like she's going through a lot of back. So no matter if she's with you or with somebody else, like she has to work that shit out.
Self-work's the best work, dude. It's just the most thick, the most tough.
Yeah, nobody wants to focus on themselves. It's so easy just to ignore everything to make everybody else a problem, but that only leads to, you know, a superficial life. And if that's what you want to do, you know, hats off to you, but if you want a deeper understanding of yourself, you can help. Self-work is hard work. If you're not uncomfortable, you are probably not doing self-work.
That is very true.
That shit is...
Anyways. Oh, okay. I got a follow-up question, and it's kind of related to the partners, too. Yes. And that is there a moment in time where you're fucking and, like, it's taking too long or it's not enjoyable? Do you stop the sex or do you tell them to come faster? Like, what is your exit strategy for that?
Oh, you just come faster, I feel.
Yeah, I do things that I know are going to make that partner come. So if it's like dirty talk, I'll just amp that up a little bit just to... or whatever he's into, I'll be like, Yeah, you can do those two things just to get it done.
But I also feel like it depends. If this is someone you care about, you can, you know, do that coaching. But honestly, I've stopped someone midway. I think like two people, like, boop. All right, that's that. Wrap it up.
That's a wrap.
Can I call a taxi for you? Like, I've done that. Like, it was just so bad. And I was like, I'm not adding you to my list. I'm not, no, you need to get out of me right now and get out of my home. I've done that twice.
I've definitely kicked somebody out of my house. And when I tell you, that's the best day of my life. Because me and this dude, we were like arguing all fucking day, but he was supposed to come over, we were gonna chill and fuck or whatever. And when he gets there, he was still tripping. And I was like, you know what? You get the fuck out of my house. Oh my God. When I tell you, that was the best day of my life. That was the best day of my fucking life.
Oh man. I see. Yeah. I see.
Yeah, so it really depends on if you care about them. If you care about them, you're not going to want to crush their ego. So it's just like, okay, wrap it up. Or, you know, you just do some coaching. But if you don't care about them, just stop midway. Thank you for coming. Head out. It's time for you to see yourself out of my home.
We're done here. No, you don't need my phone number. It's okay.
No, thank you. Stop. No names exchange or no phone numbers. You will not be back.
No awkward conversation.
Like, you will not be back.
That's real autonomy. Well, right now.
That is.
I feel in the same realm of this conversation. What is the opinion on like a faked orgasm? Is that a tool thing that every girl should have in a toolbox, or is that something that is like frowned upon?
So for me, I faked it when I was younger. Now I just be sitting there looking at. Now I just do the thank you for coming. But now I have a fiance, so I don't. You know. I don't do that, but as an older person, I guess, because when I was, you know, when you're 18, 19, you're all about stroking egos. Like, yeah, that feels great. Not like prior to being in my committed relationship, I keep saying now, but prior to being in my committed relationship, in my mid 20s, well, earlier 20s, I was like, all right, I'm not faking it. I'm not faking an orgasm. You suck. Like, no.
That's not fair to either.
You suck.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not being honest to myself, and I'm not being honest to you, because now you're going to go around thinking you're a fucking G when...
Not only that, but like, then if I invite you over again, you're going to think it takes 5 minutes when it takes 20. Like, no.
So I think, but a fake orgasm can help sometimes if it's just taking too long and you're just like, all right.
Mm-hmm. You just want it, which again, it depends on your situation and your MO, but I've definitely faked it before.
Yeah.
I faked an orgasm one time. It's easy to do when you have a condom on. Like, it's kind of impossible with a dude unless you like work on the orgasm without spilling, right? Like non-ejaculative orgasm.
I mean,
it was kind of one of those things where I wasn't really into it, and I was, for me, it's like, I think in the male in the situation, there's an expectation in the performance or in the interaction, within the interaction, where I felt that I wasn't invested in you anymore. And this person was like, oh, I want you to come for me. I'm like, dude, the more you ask me to do it, the less I'm fucking likely to go and do this shit. So it's like,
Paris, can I be honest? Life. I don't want to burst your bubble. She was probably over it. If someone was telling you, like, I want to come for you, she's probably, or I want you to come for me, she's probably trying to get you to finish.
Yeah, so we can be done.
That's what old people tell me.
All right. Did we both got what we wanted?
Honestly, I think now, and this is now, because I'm in a committed relationship, we're just like, we'll be doing it. And you know how you just get tired when you be thinking you have enough to go twice, and then the second time you're like, oh, actually, I don't have enough to go twice. Are you you okay with stopping? And he'll be like, yeah, I'm tired. We'll just like stop. And there's no hard feelings, but it's like, I don't have enough to go twice. Like the first time was fun. Mm-hmm. Now let's go to bed.
Yeah. Now we're going to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. I feel like, yeah, I definitely understand.
Wow. Gotta love that, the conversational experience in the bedroom, because that's clutch.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think it comes with just time.
Sometimes I get attached to like the ego of it.
Mm-hmm.
Honesty, yeah, absolutely. And like remove yourself from the ego of it all, because my partner's satisfied is bringing multiple layers to it. And it's not just me not being a good person in bed or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I think that took a long time for me to swallow. It's like there's women who I'm more compatible with and people who I'm not compatible with, just in general.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that takes time.
It mentions it in the Kama Sutra too, about different male lingam sizes and the women's different like yonis and like the kind of compatibility, the hare, the nays, and the rabbit or something. I can't remember it specifically. I don't want to get quoted for it, but it's a concept that exists beyond the thousands of years and the sexual understanding between human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's calling me, everybody? Number three, Mrs. Shy Kid. Rejected.
Shy girl's trying to make a D appointment.
I don't know about all that.
It's Saturday night.
That is true.
I would be so stoked, but I'm going to consider your advice and not make that move and blow this shit up before it even has a chance to resonate and be in a proper an interaction. You know, at some point, rushing that one. Yeah. And I'm talking to you too. Duh, what the fuck? Hey, gotta go. Sorry. Nice podcast. Peace.
Right.
Oh, no. Hi, guys. I wasn't suggesting you should take that appointment. I was just saying, like, that's what she might want. But
maybe.
She just wants some comfort. Who knows?
Maybe.
I can't speak. But I'm glad you're going to at least consider the things that we tell.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Why would I not? I have so much respect for both of you, and like, you're very instrumental in my decision-making process. It's like, not everybody is sexually fluid and confident enough to have a tough conversation about some real-ass shit. Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's important to have, this is the concept of a goddess, right? To me, you're goddesses. There's no like lover to goddess translation like Nyla is or Michaela would have been. But you're women who I absolutely respect and consider their opinions. If I were in a tight situation, would need and want to hear your opinion, for you are a more like above average experts on a lot of topics, especially the feminine understanding and the intuition that I just don't have as a man. You know, that's a real ass shit.
Well, not only that, like, I appreciate everything you just said, especially the goddess part. I love it.
Seriously.
Our loyalty lies to you. So, you know, we'll give you the real, but at the end of the day, we want you to be safe and happy. So, you know, these women may come and go, and that's cool and all, but we just want our friends to be taken care of.
Exactly. And clear of drama and negative energy. Yes. So we just looking out for you, you know?
Exactly.
But I always appreciate being called that, because.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Well, Paris, it looks like we're coming to the end of our hour ish. I know we started a little late recording, but is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners? Because our listeners are always asking about you. I think they really like you.
My exploits?
Your exploits.
Or anything.
Your adventures.
I have a lot of these adventures for sure. And I don't know specifically what one I have. There's nothing like, hey, check this out. I don't plugging myself or whatever. Like, the real finesse on Instagram is my life, dude. Making funny ass videos sometimes because life is good. Yes. Give me like 2 seconds before I walk inside, so I guess I couldn't shut up yet.
I just muted for a second.
Okay.
Okay. Paris, unmute yourself whenever you come back.
Might be. We're just like trying to pull in the market. The guy was like doing the lawnmower shit. But there's nothing particularly that I'm like, yo, check this shit out. But I will, there's one thing I was thinking, and it was just so funny. It was like within the compatibility of someone's sexual like behavior. There was a point where I guess it was just routine, where it wasn't as spicy or it wasn't as like intimate and fresh as it once was when we first started dating, that Nyla and I's intimacy changed drastically. And it made me feel like I wasn't a good sexual partner for a while. And I was kind of eating at me. And it only takes like one person to like, no, I'm not. I'm good at this shit. That shit was really funny to me. And I was thinking about it. But there's like not... What I had to download for you, I believe I did very early on. Okay. What I was supposed to say.
Yes.
Unless there's a specific question that you have for me, which I'm an open book. We all know this. But I.
What about you? You have any specific questions? I'm just happy we got to like catch up and.
I know.
It's been so long.
Chris, you are my favorite open book by far. You're just so much fun and just so authentic. So thank you for always being your authentic, just wonderful fun. So
yes.
Well, dude. Appreciate always.
No, I don't have any.
Thank you.
All right, ladies, and I'll make my leave, goddesses.
Thanks for coming on, Paris. And thanks everyone for listening.
Yes, we'll see you all in about 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yep.
2 weeks. All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.